So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 most of the next 30, 35 minutes. So you want to turn there, that'd be fabulous. I want you to have your eyes on Scripture this morning. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, those three passages introduce the church to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to some very specific gifts of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it tells us that there are a variety of spiritual gifts that God pours out to his church. And it says in chapter 12 that to each person, to each part, to each member of the body, that would be any of us in Christ Jesus, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, we are gifted. You are gifted if you're a believer. There are spiritual gifts available to the church. For what purpose? For the building up of the church, for the equipping, for the strengthening of the body of Christ. Not as showpieces, not to create a bunch of hoopla. No, but there are spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit releases in and through the church to build us up, because it's good for us. It's good for us. And God gives them to us as he wills. So all the gifts God has given to us are good, they're beautiful, they're needed for the body of Christ to truly thrive. You know what? How many of you need everything God has for you? I do. I know that I need every little bit of what God has for me, because I've seen it when I've tried to do things my own way. I've tried to kind of fill in the gaps myself from time to time in life, and it doesn't work out so great. So I need everything God has for me. And as the church, we need everything that God has for us to be the church in our time right here. And right now, we've talked so much recently about the importance of the church showing up in our culture and bringing the culture of heaven to the broken culture that we live in right here as we wait for Christ to return. Well, if we're going to do that and do it successfully, then we better be equipped and we better have our hands on everything that God has for us. Just saying. This morning, we're going to focus on one particular gift. You got it, the gift of tongues. We're going there this morning. And why are we singling out this gift? Because it's the most controversial. So Pastor Eric wants to talk about it. And, you know, I can talk about controversial political things. Let's talk about controversial spiritual things, mysterious things of the Lord. That's what we're going to talk about. The gift of tongues is mysterious. It just is. I still look at it, and in my own brain, I go, why, God? You know, I mean, but who am I to say, why, God? This is something that the Lord has given to his church. It's controversial. It's mysterious. So we're going to talk about it. It doesn't have to be mysterious, though, because God talks about it in the Bible. He talks about it right here in the Word. So I've taught on this topic before. I've taught on these passages of Scripture that we see primarily in 1 Corinthians 14, but we're also going to be delving in, of course, into Acts and other passages, Philippians and other places. I've titled this before Untangling Tongues, and I still think that's a great title for this talk on this particular topic. So I'm sticking with it. You know what I'm saying? Untangling tongues, but here's the byline of the title, removing the mystery by looking biblically. Let's remove the mystery of this strange, mysterious thing called tongues by looking at what the Bible says about tongues, about praying and speaking and singing in the Spirit. The Bible has some pretty clear insight. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, gives us a really good, I believe, definition of tongues. Scripture says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. So what is tongues? It's a gift from God that allows us to speak to God, not with what we're able to think about and come up with our own mind, but we're able to speak to God by the Spirit, by the move and the gift of the Holy Spirit to speak to God in the Spirit. That would be tongues. It's speaking things that sound mysterious and maybe even a little crazy in the natural, because they're not originating from the natural, but they're originating from the Spirit of the living God. The gift of tongues, though, it's also, I believe, looked at as mysterious because it's so diverse in its uses. In other words, the gift of tongues, like God, doesn't fit into a box. It's not a one-size-fits-all. Here's tongues. Here's exactly how it's used every single time. It's very diverse. We're going to look at five uses of the gift of tongues and start to remove some of the mystery, some of the fear, some of the weirdness, if you will, and replace it instead with some excitement and desire, because that's what God wants us to have for this gift and all of the gifts. And this is what God wants us to have for him and everything he is. He wants us to have excitement. Not fear, not intrepidation, not judgment, not, oh, I don't know about that. But he wants us to embrace him in all that he has for us as his followers. So as we untangle tongues, we're going to discover that the first use that we're going to look at this morning is that tongues is a form of spiritual prayer. 1 Corinthians 14:2 again. Tongues is a form of spiritual prayer, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. When we're speaking in tongues, one of the ways that tongues is used in a believer's life, in the life of the church, is for us to be able to speak to God. That's a form of prayer. That's really what prayer is. It's speaking to God. Speaking to him and listening to him. Indeed, no one understands the one speaking in tongues, for he utters mysteries with his spirit. So tongues is a gift that helps us speak to God. It helps us pray. Do you want a communion with God more often? In different ways, and in maybe even deeper ways, beyond where you're at that moment in your own mind and in your own heart? Do you want to be able to speak with God? Do you earnestly desire to do more of that? If you do, we could stop right here and go, well, then let's go after the gift of tongues. Let's look forward to it. Let's ask God to give us this mysterious, diverse gift. If it's going to help us enhance our prayer life, if it's going to help us talk with God, that's a good thing. It's a mysterious, some would say a weird thing, but it's a good thing. I just want to make sure we understand something. God is mysterious. And if you don't believe God is mysterious, then you haven't been seeking God enough. Or you've been doing it with your mind, with your own little, you know, form of framework that you want to fit God into. You're creating a God in your own image, your own desire that works for what you're looking for. God is mysterious. He's very mysterious. He's supernatural. Supernatural. Beyond natural. Beyond what's normal. You could say God is abnormal. In a good way. Some of you are abnormal in a weird way. Kind of a concerning way from time to time. But I'm raising my hand on that one too. But God is abnormal, not normal, in a God way. In a righteous, holy, perfect, exciting way. And so the things of God are going to be abnormal. We're going to be abnormal. Scripture says that we're called now a peculiar people. Weirdos. Now, don't be a weirdo just to be a weirdo, okay? All right. So tongues is a vehicle for enhancing our prayer life. Again, verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. How many of you need to be built up a little bit? Edified, built up, encouraged. Scripture is telling us that as we pray in the Spirit in this way, in tongues, in this mysterious way of communicating and praying and talking with God, that it edifies us, that it builds us up, it encourages us, it strengthens us. I'm going to tell you what, I've been praying in tongues a lot recently. I need a lot of edification. I need a lot of building up and strengthening right now in my life. And what a gift that God would give me something when I don't even know what to pray and sometimes don't even want to pray in the natural. But God would give me a way to pray that would build me up and edify me. Speaking to God, relating to God, builds us up. And God wants his children to be built up. God wants you to be built up. God wants you to be encouraged and built up. And so he gives us different things to do that, to build us up and to encourage us. You know, one of the ways he does that is he puts us in community with one another. Because Scripture says, what do? We build one another up. So God gives us different things to build us up because he loves us and he cares for us and he doesn't want us to be beat down people just dragging through life. He wants us to be edified, built up, and encouraged. And this is one of the things that this gift of tongues and this praying to God in the Spirit, our spirit to the Holy Spirit, does for us. It builds us up. It edifies us. You know, often, I've shared this because I'm just real, and I'm like you. Sometimes you don't want to go to church, right? You can say, okay, because I'm going to tell you, I'm a confession right now. There are times, I would say, I'm just going to be real. One out of three times, I don't want to go to Wednesday night prayer. You're like, what? You're the pastor. You love Jesus. I know, but I'm living in the flesh, and you know, it's later in the day. I'm tired. Maybe I've been discouraged that day. Maybe I've gotten some news I didn't like. I'm just kind of down or whatever. But I'm going to tell you, when I show up at Wednesday night prayer, see, you're going to be looking at me next Wednesday going, he doesn't want to be here, does he? You know? Yeah, I know. He doesn't even want to be here. And that might be true at the beginning. But about 15 minutes into that prayer meeting, there's no place I'd rather be than right there. Because I'm spending time in the presence of God. He's refreshing me. The cares of the world are starting to fall off of me like rapidly. And I'm finding myself in his presence. I'm finding myself praying and communing with him. And I am getting edified and built up. And my wife will tell you, I come home Wednesday night. I often have a 7 a.m. in the morning meeting on Thursday. But I come home Wednesday night, I can't go to sleep. I'm like all boom. I've been like boom, revved up, refueled, ready to go. When only a couple hours earlier, I'm like, I just want to go to sleep, man, and be done with this day. See, God gives us things that build us up, that encourage us, because he loves us. And this strange, mysterious gift called tongues and praying in the Spirit is one of those things. Jude 20 and 21 record, and they say, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Now, look at that. Look at that. This is grabbing me right here. He says, build yourselves up. Some of you are sitting around waiting for God to just magically, you know, move the wand across you and you're going to just go from being, oh, poor Eeyore, you know, to all of a sudden, you know, on your couch, you're watching television and I'm just, blah, and God's going to, God, no, build yourselves up. Take a step in the direction of the Lord into the things that God has told us will build us up, right? that are good for us. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith and what? Pray in the Holy Spirit. That's right there in the Bible. And pray in the Holy Spirit. Build yourselves up. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Building yourself up. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the... We won't go there and talk about what that means. Keep yourselves in God's love. Anyway, you're like, wait a minute. Okay, that's for another time. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. So praying in tongues builds us up. That's what Scripture says. I'm not just like telling you what I think or what I've experienced, although I could say I think this and I've experienced this myself. But right now, we're going to remove the mystery by looking biblically. In the Bible, God himself is putting these two things together and saying that praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit builds us up, builds up our faith. Tongue actually enhances our relationship with God. It's a tool that God has given us to more deeply commune with him. Therefore, it's a gift I believe every believer should desire. Should desire, at least. You know, there are things that we desire that maybe we don't walk in and receive immediately. I desire healing for my wife right now. But she's not healed yet. So what do? Give up and say, well, God's not a healer? And so I stop praying and just go, well, I guess healing isn't for my wife. No, I don't do that. Because I know right here, I know that God is our healer. He is my wife's healer. And so I wait for it. I still eagerly desire that healing for my wife. You know what else? I desire the spiritual gift of miraculous works and of healing. You know, like the kind of miraculous gift, the gift of the Spirit, where some people just have it. Well, they will pray for somebody and that, like, healing happens. Miracles and healing happen. Dude, I want that. I want that for you. I want you to have that gift for me. You know what I'm saying? We eagerly desire, we want these gifts. And when we're not walking in them or we don't have them right away or something doesn't happen immediately, we don't just give up and say, well, I guess that's not for me. No, because God is, we go to God's word and we trust him and we keep pressing in. Tongues is a tool that helps us commune more deeply with the Lord. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all y'all. That's my Texas version. And then he says, and I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. I like the way he says that. I'd like every one of you to speak in tongues. He doesn't say, every one of you should be speaking in tongues. What's wrong with you? No. Because again, it's something to eagerly desire. It's something that the Spirit of God releases. And he just says, you know, I'd like every one of you speak in tongues. So tongues enhances our prayer life. That's use number one, but it's a vehicle for delivering prophetic words. And in verse 5 of chapter 14, it says, I'd like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets tongues with an interpretation, so that the church, so it's in a public gathering when everybody's hearing this going on, this is happening, so that the church may be edified. So what we're seeing here in chapter 14 is the Apostle Paul talking about a form of a public tongue brought before the congregation that is actually used to release a prophetic word, an interpretation, a word from God that everybody in the gathering can understand and receive from the Lord. You know, God can do things the way he wants to do them. And sometimes God brings a prophetic word, in our case, in English. Often that's the case when we get a word from the Lord, somebody bringing a prophetic word. There was a word brought Wednesday night. It was in English. That's normal. to have those, to have prophecy brought in the language that the majority of the people in the room understand. But sometimes God likes to mix it up. How many of y'all know that? Again, if you've been walking with the Lord long enough, you know God likes to mix things up. You know what? Have you ever read that book, Who Moved My Cheese? I think my mother-in-law gave me that book years ago. She must have known I was going through something. Like, dude, just handle the change, all right? All right, just handle it. Here's a book that'll help you handle it, right? Anyway, sometimes God likes to move our cheese, you know? He likes to mix things up a little bit. And sometimes God wants to just kind of, whoa, get your attention, get the attention of the church, and he's going to bring a word, something to build up the church, but he's going to launch it with a tongue, with something mysterious, followed by an interpretation in language that everybody can understand. And so this is a use that we see here discussed by the Apostle Paul in chapter 14 of tongues being used as a delivery method, as part of the delivery method for a prophetic word to the body of Christ. In many ways, I think this is what happened, is a form of this is what happened. And see how I'm using terms like this, a form of this. Because again, everybody wants to put God in a box and try to say, wait a minute. I believe that this was a form of tongues that was used at Pentecost. So you got all these people coming out of the upper room. They'd just been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they're coming out into Jerusalem, into the streets, and they're speaking in tongues. Now, some people understood them because they were speaking in languages that some of the people, the foreigners who were in Jerusalem at the time, understood. But what ultimately happened after those tongues were released and everybody, it got everybody's attention, and some people thought, man, these guys are crazy and they're weird and they're drunk, right? And all that kind of stuff. But a crowd gathered because, boom, everybody's like, what is going on around here? And then Peter speaks up and delivers the prophetic word of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and 3,000 people are saved on that day and get baptized. And tongues was kind of all part of that equation, because God does things differently. He does things differently, but perfectly. This happens occasionally at Evident Life Church, where we'll have a tongue. Somebody will bring a prophetic tongue in one of our gatherings, whether it be a Wednesday night or even a Sunday morning. Happens from time to time. And there'll be an interpretation of that, and there'll be a prophetic word that's released, and that's just the way God does it at that particular moment. I want to encourage us in something, because how can I say this? It's just coming to me. I think often the posture that we get when God does something mysterious is to get this kind of posture. Okay. We're going to see if this is really God. We're going to see what's really going on here. And we need to be Bereans. We need to be wise. We need to test the spirits. We need all of that kind of stuff, right? We need to be sensitive to all of those things. But let me tell you what, we also need to be open to what God is doing. We need to be postured to receive what God is doing instead of postured to... So I just want to encourage us as a congregation. Let's maybe have this posture, a little more so. You see what I'm doing here? Let's maybe have this posture a little bit more. Let's go from this to maybe this, like, okay, God, what are you doing here? This is kind of exciting, a little different. I got my eyes open, my ears open. I'm spiritually attuned. I'm allowing scripture to go through my head right now. Okay, God, you hear what I'm saying. All right, we got to move on. I got like 5 points here today, and I got to get you home before lunch, and we got a second service coming in too. So let's look at it. Let's look at the third use of the gift of tongues that we find in Scripture. It's an instrument of praise and thanksgiving. An instrument of praise and thanksgiving. We see the Apostle Paul encouraging the church to pray in the Spirit. He also encourages the church to sing praises in the Spirit, singing, giving thanksgiving in the Spirit, in tongues. Here it is in 1 Corinthians 14:15. It says, so what shall I do? He's talking about, should I prophesy? Should we prophesy, or should we bring tongues in the gathering of the saints? Which one should we do? And Paul says, well, I will pray with my spirit, meaning I'll pray it in tongues and in the spirit, but I will also pray with my mind, understanding what I'm praying with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you're praising God with your spirit, meaning in tongues, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving? Since he does not know what you're saying, you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. So what we're seeing here is we're seeing that there's this gift of tongues where we can pray and sing in the spirit, which of course is doing what we just learned is edifying us. It's building us up. But if we're doing it really loud in somebody else's ear, it might be distracting them instead of building them up. But that doesn't mean that it's wrong or bad. It just means we got to know what we're doing, why we're doing it, when we're doing it, and where we're doing it, and is it beneficial or not to those around us. But the gift of tongues does open up a whole new realm of praise and thanksgiving. Tongues helps us praise God. There are times in worship, often, okay, probably every Sunday, when I'll sing in the spirit. At some point during worship, when I'll just be singing and singing along with the worship team and everybody else in the congregation, and I'll just start singing in the spirit. I don't do it loud. I don't get up, you know, and get behind somebody in somebody's ear and do that. But it's just between me and the Lord at that point, and I'm getting edified as I'm praising God and giving thanks to him. Because I just want to release that and don't know what else to say or how to do it. But God gives me that ability to do it. He gives me that gift to be able to do it. So how does this work? There are just times when we need to pray something and we don't know what to pray. Do you ever get to that place where you're just like burdened and you know you want to pray, but you just don't know what to pray? What do I do? What do I say? God has given us a gift so that we can cry out to him when we don't know in our mind where to go with God on this one. And I know y'all have been there. You just don't know where to go. You don't know what to pray. But you got a burden, an unction inside of you to pray. It says in Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Holy Spirit gives us words when we don't have those words. I think tongues can take a worship life and a prayer life to a whole nother level. Sometimes I wonder when I'm singing in the Spirit, am I like singing along with the angels in heaven right now? Is this what they're singing? Is this the language and the words that they're declaring and singing right now? Sometimes those kind of thoughts pop in my head and I go, wow, God, that'd be cool. I don't know if that's true or not, but wow. It builds me up. It encourages me, draws me closer to the Lord. And I just think that's a gift worth thanking God for, and a gift worth desiring. And again, I want to go back to that. It's like maybe you've desired it. Maybe you've asked the Lord. Don't give up. Just like maybe you've asked God to heal you. Maybe I have asked God to heal my wife. Hasn't happened yet, but I don't stop believing and trusting and longing for that. Knowing that God is good, his timing is perfect. He knows my heart. He understands the situation, the circumstances. And there is something about that God usually does in us and through us during the waiting, as we wait for something from the Lord. But you can see why all of this is confusing, because it's not a one-size-fits-all gift. Tongues isn't. There's many uses. It's a very diverse gift. It's mysterious in so many ways. And a lot of times we just don't like things mysterious. We, especially living in the West here, we like to know. We like it all wrapped up with a little bow and easily understandable and comfortable. That's the other thing that we tend to want and like. Want things comfortable. I'm looking at one of our board members, Tom Lewis, back here, and I know Tom said, Tom's like, wait a minute. See, this is what I'm about to give is that quote that you gave me a few years back, and you said, you know what? Church should be dangerous. Shouldn't be comfortable. Church should be dangerous. When you come before the living God, it should be uncomfortable. You should be in a position where you're like, God is God, and he can do whatever he wants to do right now. Number four, we'll hit these last ones quickly, is tongues can also be a tool for evangelism. We mentioned Pentecost. I believe that we did see tongues used as a tool of evangelism at Pentecost in the way that God wanted to use tongues. And I believe it was used in two different ways, as we see in Scripture. If you look at Acts 2, verses 37 through 41, I'm not going to read through the whole passage, but essentially we have the church being released in the gift of tongues. I believe that some people heard the gospel message in their tongue, in their native tongue, and it drew them to Jesus. But I also believe that just the mystery of the tongues being released, all these different tongues being released in the streets of Jerusalem, also was something the Lord used just to draw people's attention to what God was about to do. Gathered a crowd. How many of you know Jesus did mysterious, miraculous things often to draw a crowd? And to show that, hey, this is somebody you should probably listen to. Just raise that dead guy. Just heal that woman. Just cast all those demons out of that crazy dude. Set him free. Anyway, God will use mysterious things to get people's attention so that they will hear the gospel of Jesus and come to a saving knowledge of Christ as their Lord and Savior, because God loves people. God will do some crazy things because he loves people. I hope we'll be that way too, that we'll be willing to do some crazy things because we love people, some uncomfortable things because we love people, to be used by God in ways that make us go, oh, really? I'm going to be that guy right now? Yeah, because I love people and you love people. So let's go get them. Let's draw them to Jesus right now. Finally, tongues can be used and has been used and is still used as a weapon for spiritual warfare. How many of you have ever been in a spiritual battle? This is a beauty. By the way, I am calling Easter Sunday, I'll often call it Resurrection Sunday, but I'm calling it this year Victory Sunday. All right? So that's the name of our Easter Sunday. It's Victory Sunday. Why am I calling it Victory Sunday? Because the victory has been won. All right? The cross and the resurrection, the victory is won. That battle is done. It is finished. It is finished. Yet we live in a world where there still is, as it says in Ephesians 6, a spiritual battle that is going on right now. So we're all in a battle because we're still in the world. We're living still in the battle zone, if you will, behind enemy lines. So we're still in a battle right now. It says in Ephesians 6, our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. And so God says in 2 Corinthians 10, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. So there's a war going on that we're in the middle of that we need to be waging right now. We do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So how do we wage war? How do we fight? How do we get the victory? We do it God's way with the weapons and the strategies that he has outlined and equipped us with. Ephesians 6, beginning of verse 16, we look at the armor of God. In addition, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of, and remember that one, the shield of faith, extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. I'm going to tell a story just very quickly here in just a moment. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which are the word of God, and pray. Wait a minute. It's not over there. No, this whole call to how we do spiritual warfare continues as Paul writes to the church and says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. We know we have the Bible. We know we need to speak truth. We know that truth pushes back the lie. It changes things. Jesus used truth. He used the word of God when he was being attacked by the devil in the desert. And when he released the truth of God, when he released truth, the enemy fled from him. But we also have this weapon of praying in the Spirit, according to Ephesians 6:18. I'm going to tell a story, and then we're going to conclude. It was years ago, I was over in California, we were at a basketball tournament. The Caldwells were there because all their kids were playing, both their girls and their boys on different teams, and we were there at this California tournament playing. And next thing I know, I'm looking over at my friend Dave Caldwell, and he just has this look on his face of concern and worry. And I come to find out he had just gotten a call that his daughter Hannah, who was having their first baby, Samuel, is Pastor Tim, the worship leader, his wife. And they're having their first baby, and things aren't going well. And Samuel was just born. It was a rough, kind of a rough birth. He's purple, he's not really breathing. Things aren't looking so great at all. And there is great concern. And so I said, all right, Dave, let's start praying. So Dave Caldwell and I began to walk around the parking lot, circling the hotel room. Why? Because we just needed to walk and pray, because it was stressful and it was serious and it was time to do some battle. There needed to be a victory right then for little Samuel. And we began to pray, and as we were praying, we're praying in with our minds, and we're praying in the Spirit, because there's only so much we even know what to pray for, how to pray in that situation. We just know we need God to show up right now and save a life, to bring life, and to change things. And we're praying, and there's sticks on the ground, and I'm picking up sticks, and I hand them to Dave, and we're holding these sticks, and we start going. We start breaking those sticks in half, as though they're the arrows that the enemy has been firing even at this family and at this little boy's life right now. So I know you get crazy sometimes, but when you're in a battle, you just got to go all in, man. You got to take every weapon that you have on you, and you got to use it, man. You got to take action in that moment. And at that moment, when it was hitting the fan, I don't know why that came out of me right now, but it was, okay? We took every weapon, started pouring out of us, coming out of us. Prayer, praying in the Spirit, remembering scripture about the fiery darts, breaking those arrows that were being fired at that family. Intercession, crying out. And if you know, obviously Samuel was rescued, he was saved, because he's a fiery firecracker little kid, man. That guy's got so much energy, you never would have known he was ever in that condition. And that's how he started his life. God is good. And God has given us tools and weapons, and he's given us strategies, and he's given us ways to engage with him and to go to a whole nother level in this life, to live by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, to do battle with the Holy Spirit on our side. We can do life without, you don't need this to be saved. That's what I'm saying. You don't need to have this gift to be saved. But God has something available to us. I want it. I need it. Kind of think of it this way. We could travel across the United States. We could just walk. I can walk. Let's just not even go that far. Let's just go to San Diego. I could walk from here to San Diego. I could do it. It would take me a long time. It'd be painful. But I could get there eventually. I could get there eventually. But I don't have to walk. I can take an airplane, man. I can buy a $29 ticket, get on an airplane, and be there like that. See, I got things available to me. I don't have to do things always the hard way or in my own strength. And that's the way it is with us in the Lord. We were ministering earlier and singing, cast your cares upon him because he cares for us. Don't carry the burden yourself. Let him carry it. Bring it to the Lord. I want to invite you. We're going to actually, this is the third Sunday, and the third Sunday is now at Evident Life Church. This is the fourth time we've done this. We have our Baptism of the Holy Spirit workshop immediately following the second service. So it'll be at noon in the fellowship hall. Beautiful for everybody here in the first services. You can go grab something to eat and then come on back at noon. If this is something that you eagerly desire, that you want to step into, whether it be for the first time or just more, and you just want to continue to walk in this way and be around other believers who are seeking and eagerly desiring, I want to invite you to show up for that. At noon, there's going to be a short little 10-minute maybe teaching on it, but it's not a class. It's a workshop. It's a time for us to come together and just eagerly desire and ask the Holy Spirit to release his gifts as he wills in his perfect timing to his church and make ourselves available to him for what he wants to do. So I want to invite you to that gathering if you're available to do that. Let's stand up as we close. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit here a little bit today. But I want to remind us, we all know this, the greatest gift that we've been given is Jesus. Salvation through Christ and Christ alone. That is the gift. I want to encourage you, if you have not received that gift, that's the gift that God wants you to have today. It's the gift of salvation, of eternal life, of new life, all things made new, that's found in Christ alone. So if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you as we close, there'll be a prayer team at the back of the room. In fact, I see Kevin back there. Kevin, the one who was just on the screen here with testifying of how God has moved powerfully in his life. And we'll have others back here that you've not received that gift, the gift of new life in Christ. Go talk to Kevin and others. Let them know that that's the gift you want today. The Lord tells us if you seek him, you will find him. That gift will be yours. You seek him with all your heart. Let's lift our hands to the Lord if you're comfortable. Again, it's just an act, in my opinion, of surrender and honor to God. Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we are humbled that you love us so much, that you would give us gifts, that you would give us ways to interact with you, to go deeper with you, to enjoy you. You are a good father. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your son. We thank you for new life in Christ Jesus. God, we thank you for the gift of the body of Christ, for fellowship of the saints. Lord, we thank you for the gifts, the spiritual gifts that you give us. And we thank you, Lord, that you're always with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. So, Lord, help us to walk in your grace this week, to cast all of our cares upon you, because you care for us. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And if you have prayer needs, also bring them to the prayer team at the back.